Blog Talk Radio.
You think they really ready for you?
Enchanted boy, They say he wandered very far over many lands and seas. He was very shy, and there was so much sadness in his eyes. But very wise, so wise was he. Then one day he passed my way, and while we stood and spoke of many things, fools and kings, this he said to me: the greatest thing you'll ever learn is to love and be loved in return.
Jeffrey Haynes.
Marvin didn't try to be magic or charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see?
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
All right. 3, 4.
I got something, yo, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to
sing along.
Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven rain. Rain with the harmony, oh, liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high.
Burning the time.
Loud as the Lord's sea.
Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our homeownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors programs. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsyl.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Hey, you want more money in your pocket, right? Savers are losers, unless you save like the rich and beat inflation. The secret? Save the right kind of money. Pure, solid, 24-karat gold or silver for as little as 20 bucks a week, direct from the mint. Don't spend money. Exchange bad money for good money. Start today at SaveMetalMoney.com. That's SaveMetalMoney.com. The chains of slavery in the modern world are not forged with links of iron, but with the bonds of limiting ideas and debt.
Be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Team up with a company voted the 57th most promising by Forbes. With no money to collect from your customers, no credit checks, and no cost for you to join. ElectricMoneyTeam.com, 773-980-9288. That's ElectricMoneyTeam.com, 773-980-9288.
Hi there, I'm the X-Man, Xavier Paul. I'm a national network voiceover talent. You've heard my voice represent hundreds of brands and businesses for the past 15 years. Well, now it's your turn. I understand how important it is to promote your business or event in the right way. That starts with quality radio spot production and the nation's top voiceover talent. You might wonder, how do I get started? What's the best approach? What voice talent do I use? And most importantly, can I do it affordably? That's why I created CoolVoiceRadio.com. I take you to the finish line, giving you everything you need to advertise effectively on the radio. I'll help you create your concept, write your spot, even choose your music and cast your voice talent and get it aired on the radio. Now that's cool. Email me today at info@coolvoiceradio.com or call 646-326-7800 because nothing beats the right sound.
Come on, let me show you. 347-838-9825, Jimmy Lee Underground Radio Network is now on the air. If you're having a hard time calling in, I don't know, it might be the snowstorm down there in New York that's holding our stuff off. But in the spirit of Martin Luther King, I'm going to keep it Black History, keep it Black History Month. I'm going to roll with my man, College E. Woodson. I'm doing a little College E. Woodson, a little memory club with tune. But then 9 o'clock, whatever you want to talk about, we'll go on and talk about. This is Talk to Me Tuesday, everybody, so you know how you get in. Again, 7-838-9825. GG, I got Jameer Tillman in the building, and I got Sports McKinney definitely in the house, everybody. Back in a minute.
Just when you thought you had slipped through your fingers, turn around, it's gone. It's all the journey. Think about it. Yeah, yeah.
In a time when the strategy of Jim Crowism was to dehumanize and discredit those who were different from what was considered the mainstream of America, Dr. Woodson stood up and subsequently changed the course of history.
Dr. Woodson started the association in 1915 at the height of the ascendancy of the Ku Klux Klan, when lynchings were rampant in the United States of America, when racism was part and parcel of American ideology.
Well, of course, there were the obstacles of bigotry and of racism and of denial. Large numbers of white Americans simply could not believe that African Americans had made anything, that contributions
Carter G. Woodson was born on December 19, 1875 in Buckingham County, Virginia. He was the son of former slaves James Henry and Eliza Riddle Woodson. He was the youngest of nine children and had to work on the farm rather than attend school.
Let me show you the man who managed to get a PhD from Harvard, only the second man after W.E.B. Du Bois, who was denied his own education and didn't get formal education until he was 20 years old. He was a remarkable human being, an extraordinary intellect.
And so he sought in every way possible to represent African Americans as people who had made enormous, significant contributions to the development of this country.
However, Dr. Woodson was determined to get an education. And at age 17, he moved to Huntington, West Virginia. And at age 20, he was finally able to enter Douglas High School. In less than 2 years, he graduated and went on to enroll at Berea College and also served as principal of his old high school. After earning his degree from Berea College, he then journeyed to the Philippines and taught from 1903 to 1907. While in the Philippines, he took numerous correspondence courses from the University of Chicago, which prepared him for study in Paris at the Sorbonne. Upon returning to the United States, he entered the University of Chicago and earned a bachelor and master's degree in history and Romance languages in 1908. During the time that Dr. Woodson taught at Dunbar High School in Washington, D.C., he became convinced that something needed to be done about the history of African Americans. African Americans were either being ignored or misrepresented, and Carter G. Woodson was not going to allow that to continue. In 1915, the Association for the Study of Negro Life and History was founded. It was created to promote and preserve African American history and culture. He also founded the Journal of Negro History in 1916 as a tool to get information to the masses. He knew that his research would not be widely distributed in a segregated America, so he took care of that himself. In 1917, Dr. Woodson wrote his first book, The Education of the Negro Prior to 1861. This piece is considered his most important contribution. Because of the difficulty he had in publishing his works, Dr. Woodson founded the Associated Publishers in 1921 to publish books and other information about black life and history. He ultimately wrote or co-wrote 22 books, among them The Negro in Our History and The Miseducation of the Negro. In 1926, Dr. Woodson founded what was called the Negro History Week. It was to expand awareness of the contributions of African Americans to our society and to instill pride in the hearts of black men, women, and children, a celebration that has grown into Black History Month and is embraced and celebrated as a part of the American fabric.
He also launched in 1926 Negro History Week, and he hoped that at least for a week, Americans would, of every stripe, Americans of black and white and brown and gray and whatever, would recognize the fact that African Americans were truly Americans, and that this country owed African Americans a great debt for what they had done to make this country what it is today.
Think of the worst things people can say about your culture, about your race, about your religion, about your people. Are they true? Could it be that you're not as smart, or you're money hungry, or you're a drunk, or you're cold and calculating? Of course not. You're an individual. Chances are your culture has made contributions in a masterful way to cultures throughout the world. But the more the bigots say it, the more it seems true. The more these stereotypes are hoisted upon the cultural landscape, the more people look at blacks and Jews, Muslims, Catholics, Native Americans, Asians, and Hispanics with wary eyes, wondering if the demonizing insults are true. How in the world can you believe in yourself if those around you believe you're a lesser life form? Dr. Carter G. Woodson had an answer for that. That answer is knowledge.
What, you may ask, is so important about studying history? The answer is as simple as it is important. If you knew your culture's history was directly linked to great writers, powerful leaders, successful business people and pioneers, wouldn't that make you proud? Wouldn't that inspire you to do great things yourself? Those who endeavor to understand their own history are paving a path toward a bright future. Carter G. Woodson, the father of black history, knew that knowledge of the African-American experience would be the last way to destroy the chains of slavery. And so he made it his life's passion. In early 20th century America, it was popularly accepted that blacks in Africa had contributed nothing to world civilization, that slavery actually benefited those Africans who had the good fortune to be caught up in the slave trades.
It was damaging African Americans because they too were being exposed to these ideas and accepted them as truth, and it had a damaging effect on their self-esteem and their belief in their themselves to be able to go on and educate and contribute to the world.
Those kinds of distortions not only permeated the world of white Americans, but sunk deeply into the souls of African Americans. If one was to believe these lies about his own people, then how could he achieve the confidence to break the mold? In 19 books and dozens of published articles, Carter G. Woodson worked to erase that false history and began to help all Americans of all cultures to understand the true history of the African people's experience in America and across the world.
When you think of black people as inferior, it would only make sense, this argument that they had done nothing to contribute to the world. So he's going to point out all of those fallacies and really try to give the black community a rallying point around which to push their efforts, that we really needed to do something to make people aware, not just black people, but white people, about all of the contributions that people of African descent, both on the continent of Africa and also in this country, have made to the world and to the United States of America.
He believed that hard facts, through research and fair-mindedness, would bring balance to history, and that his thesis was that all peoples in the world had made a contribution to civilization. And once that people on a mass scale understood this, there would be greater respect for all races, all ethnic groups, all religions.
Before Carter Woodson began publishing his own writings and those of contemporary historians, there were few media outlets that would shed light on the full story of African and African-American achievements in the United States. He made sure Americans heard a different side of the story. In 1926, Woodson founded Negro History Week, which later evolved into Black History Month. To this day, the occasion continues to remind all Americans of the great accomplishments of writers, entrepreneurs, civil rights leaders, artists, and educators who helped create modern America. Woodson also founded what is now called the Study of African American Life and History, founded in 1915. This is the agency that decides on the theme for Black History Month each year. This legacy is still helping to inspire new generations of young people with true stories of outstanding achievements by Americans of African descent.
No person
can imagine where he's going unless he knows where he's been.
The more I learn as I've continued to educate myself and to study about people like James Lafayette, like Anthony Johnson, like Maggie Walker, it's an absolute inspiration to me. Because not only did they look like me, but because here you have an individual with enough character, enough strength, enough skill, that living in some very difficult times, they were able to use what they had, no excuses, no pity parties, but use what they had to advance their cause and take not only themselves, but other people to another level.
Across our country today, African Americans have overcome terrible lies and stereotypes to achieve great success. Carter Woodson inspired each of these people to understand the success that has been achieved by pioneers of their culture and the contributions they have made and are now making to our nation.
After a planning period, Bethune opened her school on October 4, 1904, in a small, run-down cottage. This was the beginning of a friendship between Bethune and the governor's wife. After a planning period, Bethune opened her school on October 4, 1904, in a small, run-down cottage. With only...
Ida B. Wells was activism really stems for her from her career as a journalist. And she began to raise the question about why lynching occurred in the South, and particularly to challenge the stereotype of lynching being a result of African American men raping white women.
In the early 1900s, major Hollywood film companies portrayed African Americans through negative stereotypes. White performers were made up in blackface. The goal was to create the impression that African Americans were inferior. These movies increased racial hatred and were a factor in sporadic racial rioting and lynchings of this period.
Blacks had been depicted in movies, in books, and basically in the public media as beasts, as individuals that were on the edges or fringes of barbary, individuals that attacked white women indiscriminately. And white men took it upon themselves to sponsor a holy crusade against blacks.
Under God, I have done work without any assistance from my own people. And when I think that I have been able to do the work with his assistance, that you could not do if you would, and you would not do if you could, I think I have a right to a feeling of strong indignation. With that, I walked out of the meeting and left them sitting with their mouths open.
Blacks never did really have an opportunity economically to get back into mainstream America.
The end of the Civil War on April 9, 1865, also ended 246 years of slavery for over 4 million African Americans under oppression by white power. Legally stopped from education and economic opportunities under captivity, the race moved swiftly to take advantage of new rights extended under the Constitution. President Abraham Lincoln and Congress passed landmark legislation.
One of the things that we'll find is that Lincoln, in his Emancipation Proclamation, was definitely paying attention to not offending the South, but at the same time, ridding the nation of the stain of black slavery.
But southern states, however, resented this new black equality and worked to undermine national laws during this period known as Reconstruction, from 1865 to 1875. Hate groups like the Ku Klux Klan emerged and used violent methods such as lynching to discourage African Americans from exercising their new rights. The race was voting in large numbers to elect legislators that delivered benefits in their neighborhoods. But white Southern racists were fearful that African Americans would gain too much political and economic power. So they took steps, often violent, to take the vote and suppress freedom. African Americans who dared to vote were injured or murdered. But this didn't frighten them off. They kept voting to elect men like Pinckney Benton Stewart Pinchbach, who served as state senator and lieutenant governor of Louisiana during Reconstruction.
One of the things that blacks found was that even though they had been given rights by the 13th, 14th, 15th Amendment, they found that the Supreme Court, this time the highest court in the land, is really not committed to effectively give blacks or to assure that blacks have these opportunities.
National government ignored these blatant violations against African Americans. Rights that the race had earned were taken away by 1900 in the South. Frequent violence against them grew. It became commonplace. Racist white mobs went on killing sprees, murdering unarmed African American men, women, and children. Lynching happened so often that it became an accepted reality in African American life. The perpetrators were not stopped by legal authorities at the state or federal levels.
Ida B. Wells, born into slavery, rose to challenge this brutality, and her work brought worldwide attention to the lynching issue. Born July 16, 1862 in Holly Springs, Mississippi, she was the oldest of eight children. Her parents, both former slaves, strongly stressed education and self-esteem to their children. Because of this kind of nurturing, Wells had a great thirst for knowledge. She graduated from Rust College in Holly Springs and stretched herself by taking extra classes whenever she could to sharpen her skills. After passing the teaching test by the fall of 1884, Wells was teaching in Memphis City Schools. She also wrote for a church paper, and her talents attracted the attention of the Free Speech newspaper. They made her an offer to be an editor, and she accepted. Her brief teaching career ended in 1891 when Wells was fired in the all-black Memphis school system for writing an article in the Free Speech that criticized the poor conditions for students. After being dismissed, she started writing full-time, and she saved what she could to buy an interest in the newspaper. Traveling on one of her regular trips for subscribers in Natchez, Mississippi in 1892, she heard about another horrible lynching in Memphis. This time, three African-American males who owned the business had been murdered by a white mob. They were close friends of Wells. During this era, African-Americans who dared to go into business risked being killed. In Memphis, Wells inspired African Americans to pack up, and this caused the white-owned streetcar system to lose large sums of money because ridership was low. Two City Railroad Company representatives visited Wells in her office and asked her for help at getting African Americans to ride. Wells refused.
Her press was destroyed, and a threat was on her life to return back to Memphis. So African American women came to her aid in terms of helping her to stay in Philadelphia, New York. T. Thomas Fortune came to her aid by giving her a job with the New York Age. One of the things that she said was, or to raise the question, was it really bound around rape, or was it about economics? And when she begins to question the fact that whites want to keep blacks economically bound, she becomes a victim of racism herself. And as she begins to go around the country speaking about it, it got to the point where she could not come home. And as she went abroad to talk about lynching, it got to the point whereby even white journalists in America organized a campaign against her to tell particularly audiences in Europe that what she was saying was a lie, that black folks at home lynched, they stole, they raped, etc. So lynching was a necessity.
Although Wells was not covered by the white papers in the North, she pressed ahead, and more invitations to speak followed. Her persistence paid off. In 1893, Wells was invited to England through contacts she'd made at speaking engagements. She spent April and May there, her first trip abroad. Wells received large levels of support. Speaking invitations flowed in, more than she could accept. Before her visit, many influential people told her they thought the negative reports about African Americans were true. A wide range of English religious leaders showed evidence of their support by signing resolutions that strongly condemned American lynching.
Later that year in July, she joined forces with Frederick Douglass and Ferdinand Barnett to challenge the exclusion of African Americans at the World Columbian Exposition in Chicago. The affair promoted cultures of the world. Wells produced and distributed several thousand pamphlets that reported that racism is why African Americans were being excluded. Only the nationally acclaimed Frederick Douglass was admitted because Haiti wanted him to be a part of their program. He invited a then-struggling poet named Paul Lawrence Dunbar to be his guest. At the time, Dunbar was an elevator boy. Dunbar didn't know that nationally famous journalist William Dean Howells of the Atlantic Monthly in Boston was there and had read a copy of his poetry. Howells liked his work and printed it in his publication. This proved to be Dunbar's springboard to national fame. African Americans excelled in other fields too, overcoming extraordinary obstacles. In medicine, Dr. Daniel Hale Williams received worldwide recognition in 1893 for being the first person to successfully perform open-heart surgery.
Wells returned to England in 1894 to draw more attention to the struggle. She stayed focused and garnered endorsements from leading political figures and religious groups. And by writing about her experiences abroad as a correspondent for the Inter-Ocean newspaper in Chicago, she further promoted the cause. Wells made the decision to move to Chicago primarily because of a romantic interest in Ferdinand L. Barnett. They married June 27, 1895.
Libby Wells married an attorney who became one of the city attorneys due to an appointment that Booker T. Washington made for him, Ferdinand Barnett. And when he became an attorney, people assumed that she would stay at home with her children, etc. Instead, she went from convention to convention, carrying her children with her, and matter of fact, nursing her children at the convention. She was able to balance, as many African-American women of the spirit, motherhood, being a wife, as well as being an activist.
In 1895, Wells was in the national headlines again for her three-year study on lynching, compiled in 1892, 93, and 94. Called the Red Record, it documented the lynching history that clearly showed African Americans were principal victims. The study cited that in 1894, 132 persons were executed by due process of law, but 197 persons were murdered by mobs without an opportunity for a defense. Some of these victims were white, but the majority were African Americans.
They were committed to, in fact, doing whatever they had to do, by any means necessary, to keep blacks in a state of dependence on the white community. What we also see is that Lincoln was really not committed to total equality of black people, as he was too often say that if he would have not had to free a single slave and end the war, he would have done that. But after he was assassinated, these radical elements in Congress felt that they should, in fact, take control of Reconstruction. Polling places are moved indiscriminately. Blacks are not told. When they go to the polling places to exercise their franchise, they are met with guns. They are met with other threats on their families. Their homes are burned. So blacks really were frightened and really intimidated by these means that whites used to, in fact, suppress them.
When she and William Monroe Trotter went to see Woodrow Wilson in 1913, the newly elected president, wanting to get the issue of injustice and especially lynching an issue on his progressive agenda, and a major confrontation broke out and they were asked to leave, and he was very upset with the meeting.
Wells said the president claimed he wasn't aware there was segregation and told them that if they wanted to meet again, don't bring Trotter. The Associated Press News Service found out about this and sent news across the country that Trotter insulted President Wilson. African American papers copied them and knocked his actions too. The burning issue of race engulfed the nation even in the midst of World War I in 1917. While African-American soldiers were fighting and dying throughout Europe for America, they were denied basic rights at home. Across the country, the race faced racial violence in the North and the South.
Ida B. Wells also created in in the urban centers, there were settlement houses where young girls and young men, too, when they came into the city, they could live in these houses or these particular, almost like dormitory settings. And Ida B. Wells had one in Chicago, and they had reading rooms and job bureaus and et cetera. So she was also instrumental in trying to help young transplants or young migrants, especially women.
She had to shut the doors in 1920 after two boarders stole major items. Wells' goal had been to have a facility like the Hull House started by Jane Addams in Chicago in 1893. But she wasn't able to get the help that Addams received.
This division or this lack of directions or this lack of, I would say, support, I guess, for all of her efforts can be seen throughout her life, because there are prime examples when she did not have complete support of the African-American community. But one of the things it never did was to stop her. She is a precursor of grassroots leadership, generally what we think of when we talk about the modern civil rights movement. I would venture to say that Ida Wells could very well be a mentor in terms of that sort of community building and community organization, being one who is really not afraid when there are not just lynchings, but when people were arrested, like in Elaine, Arkansas, when she went down, when the sharecroppers were arrested, she went to jail to find out what it was about, and then to reveal to the country what was happening. So we are talking about a woman that was indeed very visible and very multifaceted in terms of trying to make sure that democracy was a reality. It's difficult to kind of peg her into any one particular role. Her most success comes from her ability to really put on the forefront the issue of lynching.
Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. And it does seem to me that notwithstanding all these social agencies and activities, that there is not that vigilance which should be exercised in the preservation of our rights.
Going through, he looked back at that old mule and said,
jump. Hold my mule. I feel like shouting right now. I come to tell somebody I feel like I'm praising, praising him. Well, well, help me out, y'all. Oh, I
feel like praising, praising him.
Praising in the morning. Everybody, now we're gonna go back home and sing it like we used to a long time. I'm gonna praise the Lord while I have a chance. You know, we didn't have a lot of music. Come, oh,
I'm gonna praise the Lord while I have a chance.
I like that. Come on, praise the Lord. But I declare to you that I know he's able. Does anybody know he's able? He's able. He's able to keep that that you've committed unto him against that day. Now let me hear you say, Jesus.
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 Nobody but Jesus. Nobody but
Jesus.
Let me hear you call him. Let me hear you call him.
Does your insurance company work for you? Hi, this is Ken Robinson, President and CEO of Ken Robinson & Associates Limited. We are an insurance brokerage firm located at 5963 West Madison Street, Chicago, Illinois. Our phone number is 773-626-0883. We make the insurance experience easier by shopping for you, saving you time and money. Our agency features the best insurance products, giving you the most competitive prices. We insure needs for less, featuring life, health, annuities, homeowners, auto, SR22, bond cards, business owners policies, general contractors liability, and vacant buildings. Now, we also offer coverages most major insurance companies no longer offer. Please call for a free quote at 773-626-0883.
I can't sing no more sad songs. 1, 2, 3, hit me, bop the bop, bop it out of bebop, bop the bop, yeah, bass man, come on up. 1, 2, 3, hit me, sound good, yeah, saxophone on the floor. 1, 2, 3, hit it.
Around for a man to be a man, take back his time. I gotta do something to shake. sing tough. I like Johnny Mathis, but I can't do that stuff. Jimmy got soul, Jimmy got soul, Jimmy got S-O-U-L, soul. I can't do rock, I can't do roll. What I can do, baby, is show my soul. Jimmy got soul, Jimmy got soul, Jimmy got, Jimmy got, Jimmy got soul.
Three four seven eight three eight nine eight two five. It's me on the Ground Radio Network. What's going on, everybody? I'm sitting in the studio with some new people, so let me get everything adjusted here before I bring everybody back in. 347-839-825 is the number. I got my girl Dana in. What's going on, Dana? How you doing?
What's happening, Jimmy? How are you?
Oh, I can't complain. I cannot complain. What's going on?
Oh, nothing much. Just sitting up here enjoying the snow.
Enjoying
staying out of the snow. Wondering when the crazy weather is coming from.
Yeah, I can imagine. Is the weather as ranchy or as raunchy as they're reporting it, or is it just regular snow?
Well, I mean, it was just a lot. Like, so I've been down here for a few years, and if I had to add up all of the snow from, like, for more than 2 years, tonight's snow was more than both years put together.
Yeah,
so that part was kind of crazy. You know, I wasn't ready for that. You know, I like the sun.
Right, I know it is January though. You know what I'm saying? People forgetting that it is January. You know, but no, I didn't have nothing to talk about earlier this on the show. So I did was play some excerpts of Ida B. Wells, and what was I playing? And George Washington Carver, and just to give people a history on who those individuals were. It is Talk to Me Tuesday, so by being Talk to Me Tuesday, Dana, anything you want to talk about, anything off your head, go ahead on. Make my 50 minutes worth some shit, right? I'm just dry here.
Well, you know what? I think we should talk about how it seems like as the years go forward, it seems like the world is kind of going backwards. And maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me, but it just seems to be so much going on that, in my opinion, it's starting to get to the point to where it's kind of scary.
We think the world is going backwards. Going backwards, like how?
You know, with just like the problems in our society. I mean, the issues that in our society. It just seems like we're not moving progressively forward. You know how they say, like, what was that? Who was that? Paula Abdul. She said, you take one step forward and two steps back. The problem is that we're not taking two. We're taking, like, 15. I don't know. For me, it's just really scary.
Right. I do hear that. I do understand that, what you're saying, how we feel that way. And I feel that way also. With a lot of things that are going on, a lot of issues. Well, you know, I'm on some black issues, and you're on the worldwide freedom issues. But when I look at a lot of things going on in the black community, like right now, how unemployment is higher now than it was during the civil rights era. I realize now people are coming out of school and can't even get a decent paying job now. I mean, that where people are fighting over Target and Walmart jobs. I mean, you strive to come out of high school, you strive to come out of college just to get a Walmart job, real estate job. But there's no job creation, no job development. There's nothing out here to develop any jobs. It's like our innovative spirit has just evaporated, you know. And it's sad because not only are the like, let's give an example. They said, let's raise the minimum wage here in Chicago, in Illinois. Now, Chicago, Illinois got the highest minimum wage in the state. You know, I think we got like $8.75. I think the top is like $7. But this goes to $10 an hour. Now, they say that would give, that would help the unemployed get income. But not necessarily, because the people who got jobs will get jobs and probably get that job. It's difficult for, unless you're creating jobs. If you are going to raise the minimum wage, that is excellent. We're not going to create no new jobs for you to apply that minimum wage. Then you got a bunch of people in what I call a merry-go-round of retail that know that everybody needs $10 or $20 and $10 an hour, and they can let you go or fire you or hire you or what have you at the drop of a notice because they know everybody lined up for the only job in town, Walmart, Target, and Big Box. Not Ford, not no plant, not the steel mill. I mean, nothing that makes nothing. Back in 1983 or 85, you could get out of high school, get a good paying job. Right on. You can get a good paying job. I always did good stuff. A good paying job and raise your family, and you can retire in that job through high school. You know, nowadays, you're lucky to get a job for 5 years. You know, you're lucky. It's not long without them packing up or them raising rates or cutting your benefits or what have you. So I agree with you, Dana. We are taking 2 steps back. I do agree with that wholeheartedly.
But you know, but see, the thing about it is it's like a big spiral. In my opinion, it's like a big spiral. Like the joblessness is supposedly improving. But it's just said that there are so many other problems and there are so many other things that it just, it seems to be, I don't know, it just seems to be so much sadness. Like I said, I'm just really worried. And I'm concerned that, you know, that it's going to get worse. Like I'm concerned for my children. And for my children's children, and at what point, especially as an African American,
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Let me take a break. Hey, I got a new song for my man Bobby Rush. I had all my Jesse Jackson songs, but this is my song, Bobby Rush. This is Harlem.
congregation wants a donation to send the preacher to the Holy Land. See, now, Dana, this is why this is Bobby Rush's songs, because the Crooked delegation, that's the Chicago delegation, wants a donation, that means get some money, to send the preacher, a.k.a. Bobby Rush, to the Holy Land. So I'm screaming, hey, hey, no, don't give your money to that lying, cheating man. Hey, 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 hey. But anyway, this is only Beat the Clubs right there. Bill Withers, and that is Harlem. And that is my new song that I'll be playing almost every day here, dedicated to you, Robert Rush. But anyway, Dana, what's happening? I'm back on live on the air. Am I music on? Am I still good? Okay, I got Daniel Blue on. Watch so far. I got Daniel Blue on. Before I bring Daniel on the Blue Room, I like to thank everybody who gave me those condolences from my grandmother. And I like the ones that even made me feel a little better by saying I should be blessed. Ishmael, my man Ishmael, said I should be blessed because he didn't know his grandmother. He's had an opportunity to know my grandmother. And I do appreciate that because you should take a lot of things for granted. Let me take a commercial break while I take a pause for calls. Think about my lady, Miss Lily K. Brown, who's passed on their changes. Thank you.
Wouldn't you just like to feel clean again? In Chicago and surrounding areas, Unique Towel Cleaning Service is the best cleaning service. We do basic cleaning and super cleaning, offices and apartment buildings. We will even clean your barber shop, your beauty shop, your spa or restaurant's towels and aprons. Call Unique Towel Cleaning Service at 773-484-5027. Ask us about our very special offer for our new clients. Call us at 773-484-5027 today and feel clean again.
Do you hear that sound? Well, that's the sound of back pain. Are you tired of nagging and persistent back pain? Whether you're suffering from a chronic condition or a recent injury, don't fret. Chiropractic has proven to be a natural and holistic alternative to pain medications and surgical procedures. Visit Dr. Todd Tucker at our Water Tower location on Chicago's Magnificent Mile for a free consultation and exam. Call 888-535-2381 to get started with your personalized treatment plan. That's 888-535-2381. Call now.
When were you last on an amazing vacation? I'm Tracy Lewis, leisure travel specialist with Pogo World Travel, and I'm here to tell you that you don't have to go it alone when planning the vacation of a lifetime. So the next time you're looking for expert advice on that perfect vacation, you've got Pogo World Travel every step of the way. Visit our website at gowithpogo.com today and find out why they say, go with Pogo World Travel and discover your dream of vacation come true.
Tired, stressed out, or just need me or we time? Then Phoenix Rising, Baltimore's exclusive bed and breakfast, is the place for you. Phoenix Rising offers an unforgettable, rejuvenating experience with exquisite guest rooms. Find peace and calm in the Sedona Room or Haitian Room, or relax in front of a marble fireplace in the Serengeti Room. Call 410-462-2692 today to schedule your escape to Phoenix Rising. Visit us online at phoenixrising.com.
As we spoke of many things, rules and kings, then he said to me,
What happened to Gabby Douglas? Dana, the fat girl from Precious, whatever happened to her? Today is her birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Actually, happy birthday. Actually, she's about to start in another movie. Because she was on the red carpet, that all these nasty people were sending her these terrible text messages and making all these bad comments about the weight and stuff like that. And you know what? That girl is so bad. She sent the message back that she's going to be crying all the way while she's driving her private jet or something like that. I said, off the train.
Yeah, that shit.
I had to give her a four snap up.
I'm still tripping on her for Precious. I'm trying to see how, but you know, big fat black women are in right about now, isn't that right, Sean?
They always in. Right? They always in, Jimmy.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, Dana.
So Precious always find a somebody gonna oil her down and feed her. Watch her heat. Tell her, man. Just keep it.
Keep you warm in the wintertime.
But see, that's much for, but see, why would anybody be hating on that girl? You know, the admirable thing is the fact that she is doing her thing. She didn't let nothing hold her back. She didn't have to be scary. She didn't have to be whatever. She was just who she is.
I only want to see a Forrest Whitaker movie. I mean, that's just it. I like my Master P album. I mean, it ain't got to do with fat size. It's got to do with taste. And when I saw
Hello?
Yeah, we still here. When I saw Precious, that just did it for me. You know what I'm saying? So I can hold it for me. I can take it that long. You know, that was a horror movie. Like my man Paul Mooney said, that was a horror movie. You know what I'm saying? Let's take our womanhood back. That was a scary movie. You know what I'm saying? That was a scary movie. Matter of fact, let me try to find that Paul Mooney clip.
But Precious was disturbing for so many other reasons.
I ain't never seen the movie.
Good for you. But let me go in there and let you. This is Paul Mooney on Precious, everybody. This is Paul Mooney when he came to Hell House Culture Center right here, and he's talking about the movie Precious that had went in the theaters. And I ain't tripping you, Gabby. There's a lot of black men that love to hit on black women right now. Go ahead, cue it up, Evan. Let's go in there and bring it in now. It should be in right about now. Got it? Well, evidently, Ebony has having a hard time getting the stuff uploaded. But no, Dana, I'm not hating on Precious. I didn't like the role she was in, but I'm quite sure there's a lot of websites right now that will just pay to watch.
And you white people that are here, why I have you here. I want you to stop this ghost stuff. TV, you're obsessed with it. The ghost channel, celebrity ghosts. The ghosts touch me. I slept with the ghost. The ghosts kiss me. Real ghost stories. Ghosts. International ghosts. Ghosts that don't speak English. Ghosts. White folks, there are no ghosts. There are no ghosts. It's all in your mind. Get off the meth and the crack. There are no ghosts. There are no ghosts, white folks, and I can prove it. If there were ghosts, slaves would come back and fuck you up. You do know that. Oh, only the white ghosts get to come back. You black ghosts, sit down. You don't get to go. That's what's so funny about it. And I saw Precious. I saw the movie. I ran out of the theater screaming. I thought it was a goddamn horror movie. I was like, there's a booger bear loose. There's a booger bear loose. And it's about to eat a baby. Help! Help! I'm very proud of Monique. She did an excellent job. I'm happy for her. I hope she gets an Academy Award, an NAACP. I hope she gets everything she deserves. She's fantastic. She's earned it. But the movie, I just couldn't help it. As a black man, that movie, I couldn't stand that movie. I was very offended by that movie. That movie was insane. Color Purple 2. Your pussy's better than your mama's pussy, and you come over and eat my pussy. I said, what kind of crazy shit is this? I said, the devil wrote this. I threw that. The devil wrote this. Only a demon could write that film. And then I hear him talking, oh, it's incest, and we have to show it, and we've got to talk about these things. Yeah, Oprah and whatever the other man's name is, that man that dresses up like a lady. What's his name? Yeah, the one that has Alzheimer's. He's from God, he's a man. He just stay in a dress. He can't help himself. He thinks Madea's real. He thinks he's real. But the movies are crazy anyway. I went to see something. I was very proud. I said, Disneyland, princes. And I said, they're not prejudiced anymore. I took my grandkids. I had to sit there for 3 hours and see a black woman be a frog. I said, this is about a frog or about a princess? The white lady gets to be the princess. The black lady has to be a frog. I found that offensive. I said, I'm insulted by this shit. I go to the movies, I get mad. I went to see Brothers. I said, right on, Brothers. Brothers was about some white boys. I want to see Dark Man, White Man. I said, what kind of shit is this?
Paul Mooney, ladies and gentlemen. Paul Mooney. Paul Mooney, man. Ladies and gentlemen. Now it's Paul Mooney.
hey, which one was that? Hey, Jimmy, which one was that, Paul Mooney? I got to watch that one. Which one was which show was that?
Paul
Comedy
Mooney
was that?
Practice.
Paul Mooney, okay.
Paul Mooney on practice, yeah. It go from that point on, you know. Right. But yeah, so yeah, I can watch 5 minutes of that movie. Movie gets fucked me up too. I ain't fun. It fucked me up too. But today is Gabby's birthday. Yesterday was her birthday, and I'm sorry that I'm missing everybody. All the BB, all the big, beautiful, big beautiful women or big bad? Well, how did she go? Shout out to BB, did it bad for Sean?
But okay, here's my question. Do you think that she could have gotten a role on, let's say, a movie that was not as morbid? After I saw, there were some things, first of all, that happened in that movie that I had never heard of in my entire life, okay? And after I saw it, I was so disturbed by the movie because I was going to take my children to see the movie, and one of my friends warned me. They said I needed to go see the movie before I took my children, and I'm so glad I had that warning because there were some things that I had never heard of. So I was mortified after I saw the movie and some of the things that transpired in it, and I went and told one of my friends, and I was like, you know, I don't know why they would put something in there. That's not even realistic. Those kinds of things don't happen. But would you believe that that friend, and I am not kidding, that my friend that I said this to had been adopted, and she said that something similar happened to her. So,
okay, but Dana, black people, we're the type to put our shit out there like that. I cannot see shit like that happening. Straight
well,
up.
You know what? And honestly, I couldn't either. I could not either. I didn't believe it. I was like, this is just some crazy old made up.
So
do you think that's
a good movie to bring out that issue?
And that's where I was going with that. I was going to say that, you know what, although as morbid as it was, I had never heard of it. And I'm in the medical field.
What was morbid about it?
The fact that what she did to her daughter, that's unheard of.
What'd she do?
We'll get back. Hey, happy birthday, Gabby. There's something to you right here. Hold on.
Oh, today is your birthday, and I wish you many, many, many more. Oh, today is a special day, one you never had before. I'll send you flowers by the hour, candy and perfume. I'm gonna shower you, precious baby, birthday baby, tonight. Oh, today is your birthday. I wish you many, many, many more. Oh, today is a special day, one you never had before. I'll send you flowers by the hour, with candy and perfume. I'm gonna shower you, pretty baby, birthday baby,
Hakeem the Dream, Olajuwon Fasa Lamajah. I put that to you guys out there too. But no, man, the big, I mean, all you gotta do on BBW porn is hot, man. The big, big, beautiful women porn.
But see, that's the thing. You people come in all shapes and all sizes. You know that.
No, people,
man,
like chunky booties or chunky asses.
No, man, there's fetishes of men who just tie them down and just feed them. Just want them to eat. Just watch them eat.
Well, I think she is a great actress. You know, how she the fact she's born.
Nah, they got to get that girl a break. No, they got to give her a break.
Like.
No, they got to give her a break because they know that movie pressure's too raunchy. We're not going to describe the things that was done in that movie, which I could not believe that mothers do not do that to their daughters. I'm sorry.
I'm telling you, I was shocked.
Well,
I'm wrong.
You're wrong at that, my man. I was a social worker. You're wrong at that. You're wrong.
Well, that's good, then. That's good.
It
should be shown on TV.
It happens.
And that's why it was good that was brought out to light, because I'm going to tell you, never in a million years would I have imagined.
Schools are taking their children. Schools are taking their kids to that because they thought it was some old black movie about a black girl about to get her own independence. I'm black and I'm fat and I'm proud. That's how they sold it. You go there seeing girl get your groove on to, like, oh my God, it's really porn. What the hell? Oh, hell, fuck no. No. there's certain thoughts that should not be placed out there in the universe. I.e., let me give you an example. Minister Society showed everybody how to cook crack cocaine. You want to watch Minister Society? Just that slow. Get the water slow, how to do it. Certain ideas, you want to put art on it, you want to put spin on it, but no, certain energies just not be put out there. Because all people are going to do is emulate those things. Now, like Sean says, happening now, it's probably real big now. Big deal once it go big screen. That's what everybody wants to see, that's what everybody wants to do.
I mean, it was going on before it hit the screen, big screen, Jimmy. I mean, we just new to it. That's all. It was going on before that. I was shocked when I was a social worker how much it went on. All right? It was like a regular – you talk to some people, they thought it was like a regular thing growing up. Some older folk will tell you
white,
that.
White or black in a black household?
Black, yeah.
Black household. Man, clear.
Yep.
Listen,
ain't just Cleveland. It was all over. It's all
nah,
over.
Man, Cleveland is crazy. Here's Paul Mooney again, everybody. It's Paul Mooney on racism. It's Cleveland. It's crazy in Cleveland. My fault, Mickey. You know I love you. Abney, can you just
can black comedians be racist?
A black person can't be racist by definition.
Why is that?
Because we don't have any control over people's lives. We can't. I can't tell you what neighborhood to live in. I can't tell you what school to go to. I can't tell you you're a second-class citizen. I can't tell you that you can't vote. If I get on that corner and say, I get on that corner for 5 years and I stand there and I go, I'm going to take me a knife and I'm going to cut your throat and I'm going to take a car and I'm going to run you over and I'm going to take this hammer and I'm going to beat you till you're dead. If I never kill anybody, am I a murderer?
No.
When I kill somebody, what does that make me? A murderer. I don't care what I talk about. I could talk about it all day long. All we do is talk. White folks do. White folks make laws. There's laws in the book. I'm from Louisiana. That said if you marry out of your race, you go to jail. You understand? There's laws that you can't own property. They made laws. Laws. You can't vote. You can't go to school. You can't live in this area. You ain't never seen a sign that said, white boy, if you in this town when this sun goes down, we're going to hang you. Now have you. That's racism. A practice. What you preach. I hate that crap when they say that. It's like the race card. You're so worried about it. I'm worried about how in the hell did they get in the debt? And they brainwash everybody. They have a brainwashing machine that's unreal. That's why you can't catch a cab in New York. Because they think that you're the enemy. The color of your skin condemns you. That's why white people live 8 years longer than we do. Because we have to put up with this crap. I go through it all the time. I get sick of it. I get sick of it. I go into a five-star hotel. I come here to do the David Letterman show. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. I cannot make this up. I'm not this good. I get on the elevator. There's a white woman there in civilian clothes, probably about 45, looks at me and says, can I help you? I said, can you? Well, who in the hell are you? I'm the maid. I said, well, bitch, go make up a bed and get the hell out of my face. Can you imagine a grown woman, I'm a mature black gentleman, asking me that, opening that door? I could have went crazy. She opened a very dangerous door. Agreed? Agreed. These are things I have to go through as a black male. I don't like it. This is insanity. And it doesn't happen only because of white people, because of black Anglo-Saxon. You could be white up here. I'm in first class. I'm at the JFK, and the black woman's asking me, do you know what line you're in? Because I'm in first class. I said, do I look like Stevie Wonder? Yeah, I know where I am. I'm in first class. And you cannot help me. Go get your white manager. I don't even want to talk to you, you dummy. And they give me that whole German Hitler crap. I'm just doing my job. Well, do it somewhere else. Don't do it in front of my face. I get tired of it. It's crazy.
You know, they will let white folks make a movie about any goddamn thing. Look at Hollywood. Scissorhands, give me a fucking break. Somebody is on crack. Somebody smoking a pipe at the studio. Somebody at the studio is smoking crack. Scissorhands, throw mama from the train. Only white folks can throw their mama from a damn train, and it's a hit fucking movie. Ain't that some crazy shit? Throw mama from the goddamn... What's the other thing? White men can't jump. They don't have to. They own the team. Some white man is at the bank right now. Ooh, my niggas are jumping. Oh, jump, nigga. White daddy make you jump. Jump. Oh, jump. Single white female. They'll let white folks make a movie about any fucking thing. But I knew they were crazy when they let them make Driving Miss Daisy. In the 90s. Driving Miss Daisy. Fuck Miss Daisy. I will walk before I drive some goddamn Miss Daisy. Some old Jewish woman, I'll take a bagel and beat the shit out of Miss Daisy. This is the 90s. I'll drive that bitch to an alley and rob her. I will do a carjack. Miss Daisy would be on the fucking bus. She'd fuck with me. See, a lot of you are relating, but a lot of white folks are not laughing. They're holding back because they love that tar baby, Aunt Jemima, let's go back bullshit. Oh, me Daisy, and I love it. Fuck that. I don't like that cooning, happy slave bullshit. See, you're white. You can go back. Back to the Future. They like all that shit. You can skip on back. Your little ass is white. I go back. I can only go back so far. Then my black ass is in chains. Fuck you. I'm not going back. Trying to trick a nigga back. Trying to trick a nigga back. Come on, nigga. Come on back. Come back to Jamaica. Come on. No, I'm going to stay here in the 90s where I can tell you to kiss my black ass. I didn't like the ending of that movie. And the rest home, he's feeding it. Oh, you my best friend. I said, look, poison this bitch so I can go home and get some sleep. What they going to do? Let Spike Lee write and direct part two? Driving Miss Daisy some more? But my favorite, I have to confess, I swear, don't tell anybody, Lassie. I love that fucking Lassie. Was that a smart dog? God damn, that dog was smart. Remember how Lassie used to start? That was Lassie whistling. That dog was smart, wasn't it? And then they talked to Lassie like Lassie was a person. You know, they just, white folks talk to Lassie like they grew up. Lassie, hey Lassie. Hi, girl. How's your mom? Oh, Lassie. I love you. Call me in an hour, Lassie. I'm going to talk to fucking Lassie. I saw one episode where Grandpa drove him somewhere, remember, and had a heart attack. Lassie drove him to the hospital and made a left turn. I said, God damn, Lassie. This is a smart fucking dog. Lassie got dogs killed. I had a little mixed ghetto dog. I must have hit that dog in the head with a hammer. I said, motherfucker, if Lassie can do it, you go do it. I said, you better talk back. I'm going to give you to the Vietnamese family. I bet they'll make your ass talk. You'll holler for help. I bet they'll make you talk. Oh, but that lasted. And then one episode, they got burglarized. They said, oh, girl, what did they take, girl? What? Were there any niggers? Any dark one girls? Any real dark ones? That black girl? Make out the police report, Lassie. I used to always like put, you know, your race because you're black into movies. I always thought Frankenstein was a nigger. No, because all the white folks are always chasing Frankenstein.
Hello? That's Paul Moon. I'm leaving right there. My fault. That's Paul Moon. I'm leaving right there. I guess I can end the show with some laughter and stuff like that. But yeah. Paul Moon is funny, huh, Sean? A little banter for you.
Yeah, I like Paul Moon. He all right.
Yeah, I've had a chance to meet him and stuff. He's kind of high tech. I know I probably played this stuff for you also before Dana. But no, ain't nobody got no hate on Gabby Douglas. I like that movie she was in with Eddie Murphy. You know, that movie was garbage. You know what I'm saying? She ain't a good actress to me. Flat out, like Forrest Whitaker ain't a good actor to me. You know, certain people I'm not going to see. You know, I don't care if Forrest Whitaker, could direct the movie, I ain't going to see it. He robbed me too many times at the box office. You know, I don't believe in getting taken too many times by fake actors.
What? He's good, man. You don't know acting, man. Forrest Whitaker is real good, man.
I'm not going to see
right, Forrest Whitaker's
off the chain. Yeah, he needs to be back on the chain then. That's what he needs to be. You know what I'm saying, man? Nah. You know what I'm saying? Nah. You know,
how could you even say that? Come on, Jimmy. Where's this coming from?
I've been boycotting A Rage in Harlem when he was with Robin Givens, purple like he Mike Tyson. This is Mike Tyson. From that point on, I've been on a forced political boycott. I'm sorry. Ghost Dog.
Other people have been dissing
Mike Tyson,
too.
Ghost Dog. Come on, let's be real. Ghost Dog.
I love that, man. That was the movie that made it for him, man. What you talking about?
Oh, my God. And that did it for me.
Okay, what about
Same style. Now, the Green Mile, nothing. He wasn't in the Green Mile, but I love the Green Mile. You know, I love the Green Mile. Green Mile's an excellent movie. You know, matter of fact, I need to go see it again. You know, because I was watching some what's my man name with the beard? And, always talking stuff, man. I can't think of his name right now.
But he said something about the Green Mile that made me, it's real interesting. I gotta check it out. The Green Mile, I like Green Mile, but I just don't like Forrest Whitaker.
Okay.
Like,
wait a minute, wasn't that Forrest Whitaker in the Green Mile? Oh, no, that was
no.
The other guy. You're right. Ooh, I can't believe I said that.
Right, neither can I, but that shows your blackness. We're gonna keep it moving, though. And we know people like you think Gabby Douglas is the same girl that testified to Trayvon Martin's channel 2 this year. Don't. She's the same person. I know all black cat people look alike, Dane. I know that. You know, because
oh my God, I can't believe I went there. Oh,
but let me go there with you, Dana. Listen, real talk. Somebody told me it was Gabby Douglas' birthday. She showed a picture to me, and she's turning 30 years old. And on everything, I said, 30 years old? Ain't that bitch too old for Trayvon? I was like, oh no, wrong person. I was like, oh my God, I felt different. So that
she,
was
she do need to lose some weight though. She looks sick.
Because diabetes is real. No, on everything.
Her kidneys got to be going through hell. All that. Yeah.
Okay, so hold on. I got to put this out there.
Go ahead.
I may have made a mistake about the movie that Forrest Whitaker acted in, but at least I knew he was an actor. Where the heck did that come from, Jimmy, talking about the Trayvon Martin?
I'm going to go here. When I looked at Gabby Douglas and somebody says it's a birthday, the first thing hit my mind, 30 years old. Ain't she too old to be dating Trayvon Martin? And somebody said, nah, that's the chick from Freshers. Oh. Because everybody was talking, you know, so that was just my bad. You know, and that's why today, because I got called on it today, I'm celebrating Gabby Douglas' birthday because I did talk that Freshers was the same girl that was dating Trayvon Martin. Anyway, does anybody know what ever happened?
That's so scandalous.
Hold on. If you saw Precious, now, the girl who dated Trayvon Martin, wasn't her and Precious acting the same? I mean, hell yeah. I mean, that's it. Precious and Trayvon Martin woman have fed black fat girls back 100 years now. They might as well put a motherfucking handkerchief in their spot and start
making. How did Precious take anybody back? That girl was so strong.
You might as
that
well put a rag
so
on your head, go get a bowl and bake some biscuits in the kitchen and start saying, mm-hmm. I mean, you might as well go back there. And listen, at least you didn't say, who that, like Queen Latifah did. At least you didn't go there.
I just want you to know that Jimmy has contributed to setting our people back about 15 years. And
he'll ask. Hold on. Y'all to see Queen Latifah go, who that? Come on now. You know, yeah, everybody
Jimmy,
goes there.
Back about 15 years. I'm telling you right now.
No. Okay. Well, you know, we got to keep it positive. You're right, Dana. We got to keep it positive. So I'm going to end this shit on a positive. No, I'm going to think happy. Put a think happy up there. I'm going to think happy right now. Last couple of days, I was feeling all kind of grind. I was feeling kind of groggy. I apologize, Gabby Douglas, for considering you Trayvon Martin's woman. All fat black girls that smile and be on ex-hamster ain't all the same. I don't know that. It ain't all the same.
And we don't all look alike. I'm just putting it out
That's
there,
right.
Even though I made
and
a terrible
mistake. Forrest Whitaker and my man, Mr. Duncan, just because he's bald, and just because he's black, Dana, just because you got a bald black man fetish, that's okay. And just because Sean got a big black girl fetish, you got a big black bald man fetish. Hey, what can we do here? You know, and it's Jimmy Underground Radio Network, and that's always a good night for you, Gotti. With you. Anything I want to say for our fade out? All right,
Jimmy, you got one coming.
Talk to you tomorrow.
All right.
Good night, you guys. Good night, Ebony.
All right.
Yeah.
Good night. May your God be with you. And yes, Dana, leave them big black men alone. Good night, everybody.